Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks that we can lift our concerns to you. There are those that are here and those that are not here who are ill this day. They have knees that don't work, hips that creak. They have hearts that beat too fast or not fast enough. Some have the flu. Some have other diseases. We pray, O God, dear Jesus, touch each and every one. Bring healing and life to the bodies so that they may return to church and that we will be able to be better witnesses for you because we give you the glory for the healing that we have. We pray, O God, for the healing of our nation. And we pray, O God, that you will be with those families that lost tragically loved ones yesterday. Provide healing for those who were injured. We pray, God, that your love, your mercy, and your glory will shine through. We ask, O Lord, that you will be with our brother and sister churches in our community, whether it's just down the street or up on the curve there with the Baptist church, farther up at Gateway or Vineyard. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with the ones in the surrounding towns and their pastors and their priests. We ask, Lord, that you will be with each one. Give them encouragement and strength. For truly we are all a part of the body of Christ, you. And we want, O God, you to be shared with this community around us. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school, its teachers, the Saturday morning summer break group that meets here. We ask, O God, that you will be encourages in us in faith and helping us to grow. This we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, hold up your hand if you enjoy a festival. You like festivals? Oh my goodness, yes. We're going to have a little quiz. Okay, slide number 2 should be up there before you. And it seems almost every community has a festival. Now, the reason for a party and to make some money, okay? That's why we have festivals. Did you know that? Have a party and then businesses get to make some money. So we have a festival. Now, we're going to have a little test here for you, Michiganders. Can you identify the host town by the name of the festival? So we have the Peach Festival, and that's
Rome.
Oh, good job. Okay. Blue Water Festival. Few less on that one. How about this one? Tulip Festival. Oh, that's good. Cinco de Mayo. Pardon? Emily City, that's right. They're out there dancing in the street and serving up the tacos and all that stuff. Now, come on, folks. That's only, 6 miles up the road from here? Okay. Now, this might be a little tougher, but Natasha would like this one, okay? The Mighty Uke Festival. Pardon? East Lansing. East Lansing has the Mighty Uke Festival. Now, I'm giving you a cue up there for slide number 3. So you see them all listed up there. Peach, Romeo, Blue Water, Port Huron, Tulip, Holland, Cinco de Mayo, at Simply City, and Mighty Uke is East Lansing. Now, those are pretty much the easy ones. Now, we're going to the next slide. We'll make it a little bit harder. We're going to identify the festival by the name of the town where it's held. Okay? We're going to start with Yale. Bologna. All right. You guys are good. Farwell. That's up in the Lumberjack Festival up there in Farwell. Now, I know this church goes to Caseville and camps out. So what's the festival up at Caseville?
Cheeseburger
Festival. That's right. Good job. Now, for that small town over to the west, Elsie, what festival is that? Now, the name gives you a hint, but you got to be older to remember the Dairy Festival. Elsie the cow. Remember that? Now here's another rural Deerfield. How many of you know the Deerfield Festival? Now, Pastor Bill, I know, is into bovines, cattle and stuff. Well, it's the Michigan Testicle Festival, and they serve up big meals, including gizzard as a side to go along with the buffalo that is there. Now for the last one here, it has two festivals, and I'm going to give you the first one. That's Crystal Falls, and it's the Bass Festival. Now there's a second one that's even known far and wide across the nation. Do you know what it is? For the Crystal Falls Festival. It is the Humongous Fungus Festival. Do you remember, a humongous fungus was discovered at Crystal Falls back in the 1970s. Covers 38 acres, and you can go out there and the mushrooms are popping up all over the place. It's all one organism. It weighs over 1 million pounds, they surmise. And so most of it's underground, connected by this network of connections. You may remember it got lots of press back then, and hence the festival, the Humongous Fungus. And they have a parade. The parade started back up after COVID, and the parade started up, and they have like toadstools and stuff on the floats that go down the street, and they have mushrooms on about everything you can eat, okay? And so the Humongous Fungus. Now, I mention the fungus because it has much the same story as Pando. Anybody heard of Pando? P-A-N-D-O? Now, we can cue that second one up there, so they got that whole list. It is, Pando has been making the rounds on the internet lately. You see, Pando is a tree in Utah. And what makes it unique, this unique tree in the whole world, is that it's thousands of years old, and it has 47,000 trunks. The one tree makes up an entire forest of aspen. Each tree trunk is part of one tree sharing roots through the whole forest. 47,000 trunks. Has all of them have the same genetic code as the next one? All of them are connected. The heaviest organism in the world. Now on the screen, you get to see me with my prize lilies. Notice the white one on the side. In fact, somehow it got the top of it got cut off in the picture. You see, I'm standing up. Okay, these are lilies, and it's like this tall. They can get up to 8 feet tall. Now you may think I got a green thumb. Nope, not really. You see, these giants have a genetic code in them that let them grow so tall and so beautiful. In fact, I just planted, watered, and weeded a little bit, and whoosh, up, they are going. The big one has 8 plus inch blossoms on it. Sometimes they can have up to 24 blossoms that are 10 inches across. Now the colorful ones you see down there a little bit shorter will be as big as the tall one in another year or two. Cool flowers, huh? None of anything I have done, lest I should boast. That kind of sounds like scripture because it is. You have to understand that God is big into gardens. Remember, there was Eden, Gethsemane, Golgotha, you know, where the tomb was located, the garden. Heavenly ones like the new heaven and the new earth. Gardens, the scripture tells us of them as places of peace, of shelter, protection, hope, filled with trees planted by who? God. Vegetables, flowers. God would walk through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening, the scripture tells us. Sounds like a pretty big garden. Go for a walk. Now I want us to get back to that John passage that Blake read to us earlier. Chapter 15, verse 1. Read with me. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Vacation Bible School reminds me of a song. Back then, he's a peach of a Savior. I'm the apple of his eye. He prunes back the branches when the branches get too high. He bears fruit in season, and his love will never die. And that's why I'm bananas for the Lord. Glory, glory, we're the branches. Glory, glory, we're the branches. Glory, glory, we're the branches. And that's why I'm bananas for the Lord. Oh my goodness. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of my branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes every branch that does produce fruit to make it produce more fruit. You are already presentable to God because of what I told you, Jesus said. Live in me, and I will live in you. A branch cannot produce any fruit by itself. It has to stay attached to the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit unless you live in me. And then in that verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me while I live in them will produce a lot of fruit. But you can't produce anything without me. Whoever doesn't live in me is thrown into the fire and burned. If you live in me and what I say lives in you, then ask for anything you want and it will be yours. You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit. And therefore, show that you are my disciples. Just like the fungus and the aspen, we are connected to every other Christian in the world through Jesus Christ. We are the church, and the church is a giant organism. How does that happen? Paul shares that the Gentiles have been grafted in. The olive tree, symbol of God's relationship with the Hebrews. When the branches have been broken off, Paul says, wild shoots, the Gentiles, can be grafted in. And if God did not spare the natural branches because of unbelief, how much will he tolerate your unbelief as well? Ooh. You receive nourishment from the root. Now you are genetically attached to the Father through the Son. A child of God. You got good genes. A song says you got your Father's eyes. I got my dad's hands. I got my mom's legs. Poor mom. We can hike footballs without, because our legs bowed. You know? Yeah, I mean, I got my dad's voice. He used to answer the phone, United Methodist Parsonage. That's exactly how he would have sounded. I take after the genetics of my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents and my great-great, and it keeps going, and so do you. Father God is the gardener, it says. He's cutting down dead wood, pruning live branches to bring better yields. Jesus is the vine planted by the Father so that we can be grafted in. God the Father, cutting dead wood, keeps the tree from damaging, from falling branches, and to remove infected branches, keeping disease at bay. Now we have a great example of a falling branch, actually a whole tree, don't we? Just outside the street down there. Now, I almost brought it with me. I've got this big set of loppers, you know, that can, the handles can stretch out and reach up and lop it off, you know, the dead branch or the branches that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. The Bible tells us that God will lop us off. It does. And even gets more scary than that. What does he do with the dead branches? He throws them in the burn pile. Takes them out, tosses them in the burn pile. I don't want to be in the burn pile. But he says, you're all going to experience at least a little bit of pain. Why? Because he gets his pruners out. Even the live branches are forced, pruned, it's forced the energy to the fruit. And to let the light and air get in the branches to keep diseases away. Now folks, why do we live in Christ and He in us? We are brothers in Christ. We are brothers in Christ Jesus. We have been adopted into the family of God. Grafted in. God lives in you and in me. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, what are the signs that Jesus lives within us? To produce fruit. I went out to the garden early this morning when I took the dog for a walk. Checking the tomato plants. Checking the ooh, there's a cucumber underneath the leaf. Checking it out. Looked over there. I mean, we pulled the garlic. I never planted garlic before. And the garlic came up, and the garlic was about, the bulbs of the garlic, the whole bulb was about this big. There was like six of them. And I was hoping for, you know, those big ones, you know, that you get. But my whole garlic, six of them about this big. And each of them had, you know, at least about 12 little segments in it. And I had planted 12 and only six came up. But of the six, we got that and they're out drying. But I was disappointed. I'm not going to plant garlic in that spot next year. You know, I'm just not going to do that. Why? Because it doesn't bear fruit there. I'll find something else that will bear fruit there. If we don't produce fruit, what happens? Now this gets scary. God comes along with his big lopper and snap, and into the burn pile we go. There's no easy way to sugarcoat the truth. I didn't make it up. You read it. I know this truth is not popular, but it is truth. It's not popular. So what is our hope then? Folks, there is good news. Is that Jesus lives where? Jesus lives in us. And God, through His Son Jesus, nourishes us with, I'll call it, miracle grow. Okay? Yes. Through the root. We will produce righteous root, bushel baskets full, no skunk weed here, but sweet smelling Savior of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you go to a family farm and buy an apple tree up here, okay, Have you ever gone and checked out, you know, the plants that they sell? You know, they're all done selling plants now, I think. But have you checked them out? You know, I was looking. They even had some miniature dwarf cherries this year. They weren't supposed to get higher than 8 feet. They only had like two or three bushes of them and or stalks of them, and I missed it to get one. But they had a number of apple, different kinds of apple trees there. Now, when you go there, was that apple tree raised from a seed? Bubble bursting time, most likely, nope. It wasn't raised from a seed. You see, when you plant an apple seed, you may not get the type of apple you wanted, even though you have the apple in your hand, because it would have been, could have got cross-fertilized with another kind of apple, and the apple comes out, might not at all be what you wanted. So they take a small branch of the host tree, the kind that you want, and they graft it to rootstock so that the fruit would be true. The same is true for us. We have been grafted into Jesus, the root of our being and our connection to God the Father, and our fruit will be true as well because of Jesus. Now, Pastor, what is this fruit you're talking about? Glad you asked. The Apostle Paul shares about this good spiritual nature in us. He writes in his letter to the Galatians chapter 5 that this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit. Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Good answer. Love covers a multitude of sins. More people answered on that one. I wonder why. We like that, doesn't it? That love covers a multitude of sins. Love is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The whole letter of Philippians focuses on joy. Are you joyful or dead stick in the mud? Which are you in your faith? I noticed that all of you were singing. Wrong answer this morning. Unfortunately, you weren't all singing. I hope that when they get to the last song, we'll all sing together. You see, we need to exude joy. Who wants to become like an unjoyful person? Do you? No. The fruit of joy and the fruit of peace, the peace that passes all understanding. In the storm, you experience peace. When you're going through the troubles and the tribulations of each day, you can experience the peace that passes all understanding, the peace of Jesus. That's the fruit. One gentleman was interviewed yesterday early evening. He was right there in the crowd where the shooting went on. And they said, well, what did you do? He says, I tried to keep calm and to keep calm for my family and those around. He tried to be a peace giver in the midst of chaos. How can you do that? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you. After peace, there's patience. Now, come on, really? Yes, really. Patience. That's one I don't pray for. Because if you pray for it, God will give you an opportunity to use it right away. Patience. The only real patience has to come from God. It really does. And then there's kindness. Each of us knows how good it feels when someone is kind to us, don't we? I remember the whoop, 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 pull my car over. Came up and The officer says, "You got your registration and proof of insurance and your license?" "Yes, officer, here." Hand it to him. He says, "Well, thank you." Walks back to the car, comes back up. And he says, "I noticed your left tail light is out. You need to get that fixed real soon. Have a good day." Oh, he was so kind. That felt so good. You understand what it is when somebody is kind to you? They share their cookie with you, you know? I bet Natasha gets that. The little one reaches up and shares the cookie, you know? Or maybe with Dad, you know, shares the cookie. When they're kind, it feels good. That's a good fruit. Paul says there's no law against being kind. No law against it. Goodness, Jesus says only God is good. Good is the fruit that Jesus is in. Now, some will say we were born good. I will prove that goodness is not a natural state of being, but sin is. I'll prove it. I've got proof that little tiny babies have original sin in them. You want to know the proof? Now, when you were little tiny, which did your parents try to teach you to be? Good or bad? They tried to teach you to be good because the bad came naturally. That's our natural state. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Faithfulness. The gift of faith, the strength to withstand the arrows of the devil, comes with the discipline of being faithful. Excuse me. Faith is a gift of grace of God. He gives you the gift of faith. Would you have enough faith all on your own? No, you wouldn't. But God gives you that gift, and that you need to share that fruit of faithfulness. Gentleness. Have you noticed the gentleness of older saints in the faith? Have you noticed that? Let us treat each other with gentleness when we discipline and when we encourage. Now, the last one. I can understand why you have difficulty with self-control. You see, we all live on M53. Right? Self-control. And all those other people that truly are having difficulty exhibiting self-control as they go by and wave at you with interesting finger configurations. You know? Self-control. If you've got kids, self-control. You've got grandkids, self-control. And if you're a teenager, self-control when it comes to parents. This fruit is one that will shine like a city set on a hill if you exhibit self-control. I want to encourage you. Now, if you exhibit these fruits, you will need to do several things to keep them coming. First, grow closer to our Lord daily. Read His Word. Pray continuously. Scripture says, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren together. Stop playing hooky from church. You want your church to grow? Show up 50 times a year. You notice I didn't say 52? I said 50 times a year. You get a break twice. And you go to church on those Sundays at somebody else's church. Okay? That will help your church to grow. In other words, don't take a vacation from God in worship because God doesn't take a vacation from you. At least you don't want Him to. Bless your heart by tithing, giving out of God's blessings to you. I mean, all he asks for is one cucumber out of 10. Okay? That's all he's asking for, is one cucumber out of 10. One penny out of 10. I remember my dad teaching me lining up the pennies or the nickels on the table. And he said, okay, you get 50 cents. And this 5 cent, this nickel, this one's God's. And he went and he helped me put it in one of those little offering envelopes. And he helped me write my name, David, on the front. And then I got to put it in the plate on Sunday morning. That works. It produces fruit. Now, is it been warm this morning? I'm within 60 seconds of the end of the sermon. Has it been warm? I'm just letting you know that air conditioner don't work at all. That one right there doesn't work at all. Those back there have got to have some work on them so that they will work. They kind of work just a little bit, but they probably need that extra juice, new juice put into them. And this one's got a tube that's we could all take a shower or be baptized underneath it if, we all gathered over underneath it. So that's why it's not running today. And hopefully they're running by next week. And hopefully by next week you put something in an envelope and you stuck it in the mail and you got it here to the church. So all of those will be taken care of. And you don't have to have a guest preacher mention it. Okay? I know you can do it. And share, last point, and share God's plan of love to those around you. Know how to share what God has done in your life. You need to be able to have a 30-second or a 60-second way of telling your story that Jesus came into your heart and Jesus can come into theirs. That's all it takes, 30 seconds or 60 seconds, if you want to be long-winded. Let's pray together. Lord, prune my heart of dead wood. Bring me to life in you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord, my root. God be my gardener. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.